because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Curtis Subaru Studio. Welcome to our top stories this hour. You were just telling me off the air. There's a crisis in our state with youth sports officials, huh?
Yeah, I just was reading the front page, at least as the headline in the Seattle Times, and it says the state has lost over 1,500 high school officials over the last decade, a trend that could cause your child's game to be canceled in the near future.
I'm not surprised. It's just, it's brutal to be, basketball's the sport I know the best, and basketball's probably the toughest because the crowd is right on top of the of the floor, and you hear everything.
Yes.
In the basketball. It's, you know, you don't hear as much stuff from the stands at a football or soccer game, but basketball and fans and a lot of coaches, just brutal on these people. It's,
I know. And so even some players, I must say.
Some players.
Although it must be, it's mostly, for sure, the adults.
Yeah.
And the other thing is they get paid so little.
Yeah, it's definitely, they're doing it because they love the game. They love being connected to youth sport. Did you know, not to blow my own horn, but if I don't, who will? when we won the state title,
yeah.
It was very nice, and it's something I'll always cherish. I was named by my peers State Coach of the Year.
Which is incredible.
But that same year, the Seattle and King County Officials Association, they made me their coach of the year for how I got along with the referees.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, and because I figure I'm doing this because I love it. They're doing it because they should love it. And if you're just, if you have this adversarial, so I would always joke with them. I'd talk with them, you know, while the game was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, I just think that it's counterproductive because if you're always screaming at the refs as a coach, you might not get that close call. They might not be favorably disposed to, you know, on a 50-50 call to go your way. And so it just never made sense to me to have a adversarial relationship. But I loved the people who would ref, most of them. And some of them were not very good, but it still didn't. There was still no value. Plus, if you're always screaming at the refs, it's like you're making an excuse for the kids you're coaching to act that way or to not respect them. And so it just never makes sense. So I'm not surprised that we're losing the refs. But
it's like a really good article, it looks like.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check that out. By the way, before I get to the big lead, I cannot let this anniversary go without mentioning it was 34 years today when in the 15th round in Moscow, Rocky Balboa knocked out Ivan Drago in a fight that was about not just winning one fight. It was about retribution. Because as you will recall, earlier in Rocky IV, which again, released today, 34 years ago, 34 years. How'd that happen? But, of course, early in the movie, Ivan Drago, who was just a product of the Soviet machine, injecting him with steroids and drugs, getting them all juiced up, looked exactly like Brock Huard. So Ivan Drago took on Rocky's, really his mentor, the guy who gave Rocky his first break, Apollo Creed, in what was supposed to be just an exhibition fight at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. But instead, Ivan Drago, when he told the assembled media about Apollo Creed, if he dies, he dies. And then Ivan Drago killed Apollo in the ring. Rocky had been in retirement. He didn't want to come out against this man monster that the Soviets had created. But he did. And like chopping down a tree in the Soviet forest, Rocky in the 15th round went to the body and then finally delivered the knockout blows. Rocky IV, released on this date, 34 years ago today. And of course, it produced the greatest speech in movie history, because the Soviet crowd that was so against Rocky, that hated Rocky at the beginning of the fight, but they saw the undersized grit in this man. And by the time he knocked out Drago, the crowd came to cheer for Rocky. Oh, did that upset the Politburo. And then, right after the fight, Rocky delivered the speech of cinematic lifetimes.
I came here tonight. I didn't know what to expect. I seen a lot of people hating me, and I didn't know what to feel about that, so I guess I didn't like you much none either.
Я думаю, что я не любил их тоже.
During this fight, I seen a lot of changing.
В течение всего этого боя я понял, что многое изменилось.
The way you felt about me and the way I felt about you.
И я почувствовал, что вы тоже изменились.
In here, there were two guys killing each other. But I guess that's better than 20 million.
Я думаю, что это лучше, чем даже 20 миллионов долларов.
So true.
What I'm trying to say is that if I can change,
я думаю, что каждый тоже изменился сегодня.
And you can change.
Вы можете измениться.
Everybody can change.
Yeah!
Каждый может измениться.
Everybody can change. That's what the Dory Monson Show is all about as well. Bringing everybody around to my side. But that is mere prelude. Let's get to our top stories this hour.
The big lead, top story.
In a gigantic screw you to the voters, a Seattle judge today put a hold on Initiative 976, the $30 car tab initiative, passed overwhelmingly. 55% of the people in our state said, yes, we want $30 tabs. It was supposed to kick in next week. December 5th is when we were supposed to get a gigantic reduction in our car tab bills. But a King County Superior Court judge this morning, Marshall Ferguson, issued an order halting Initiative 976 from being implemented, which means if your car tabs are due sometime after December 5th and you were hoping to get some relief because judges, politicians, Dow Constantine, Jenny Durkin, Jay Inslee, they didn't like that people wanted to save money on their taxes. And so they said, well, we're going to make this unconstitutional. And I'll tell you a couple of things about this. First of all, thanks to some listeners who have been tipping me off about this judge, Marshall Ferguson. He was placed on the bench just a year ago, 2018, by Jay Inslee. And by the way, I am learning that this is a particularly insidious way for the left to control the judiciary. Instead of having elections, judges will retire midway through their term, ensuring that Jay Inslee can put a far leftist on the bench without a vote of the people. And as one listener tipped me off to, when this judge, Marshall Ferguson, when he did a questionnaire for the 31st District Democrats, they asked him, why does he want to be a judge? Here's what he said. I had always been interested in a possible career in the judiciary, but the presidential election of 2016 impelled me to seek a position as a judicial officer sooner rather than later. In the weeks and months after that election, it became clear to me that certain values I cherish were under threat. Basic values such as the rule of law, an independent press, and judiciary. Really? You think because of Trump, we don't have an independent press? Tell me how independent the media here in the Seattle, tell me how independent the Seattle Times is when it comes to $30 tabs, when Sound Transit is a major advertiser for the Seattle Times and their coverage of 976 throughout the campaign and now after, since the campaign. Seattle Times coverage has been unbelievably biased because you have a press that is owned, bought, and paid for by Sound Transit and the Democrats who control Sound Transit, or vice versa. And so this judge is obviously one of those resistance judges who had to become a judge after Trump's election. Oh, I'm sure that this is somebody who's fair and unbiased. Resistance in a robe. That's what one of his colleagues has described it as, when judges just impose their far leftist views. And in this case, taking families who are hurting. Mom, dad, 16-year-old kid, three cars, and their tabs for those three vehicles are over $1,000 a year. And these families are saying, we can't do it. We can't afford it. And they voted for $30 tabs. The people of Pierce County who voted no for Sound Transit 3, and they got to pay anyway. And then they voted yes for $30 tabs, and now they have to continue paying these exorbitant fees. Snohomish County voted for $30 tabs. They got to keep paying the exorbitant Sound Transit fees. And the biggest outrage is that Bob Ferguson, the Attorney General, who's supposed to defend the taxpayers and the voters on 976, he didn't ask to have this hearing moved from King County. King County was the plaintiff, and a King County judge made the ruling. And when the judge talked about the 2016 election, he said, within Washington, King County holds a unique status as the most populated and diverse county. Our county's government has been consistently dedicated to the ideals of the rule of law, equitable voting rights, access to justice. You think he's going to rule against King County? He's an activist leftist judge. I talked a couple of hours ago with Tim Iman. Why even bother to vote when they're going to figure out a way, if it means getting our money, they're going to figure out a way to keep getting it. So give me your read on this judge's decision this morning.
Well, it's obviously completely maddening and infuriating, but the reality is you just got to lay it on the doorstep of Bob Ferguson. There's just a basic thing that we're dealing with here is that King County was one of the plaintiffs in the case. This is a King County judge deciding it, an obvious conflict. Bob Ferguson at no point did a motion for change of venue, didn't challenge the judge who was a Jay Inslee appointee. These are basic things that any vigorous defense would do, and which the fact that he was asked to recuse and chose purposely to stay on and not allow an outside law firm to do it makes it very clear to me that he sabotaged this initiative on purpose. From within, it's so corrupt and so wrong, but that's what we're facing. Essentially, in a way, Bob Ferguson won for his real client, which is Sound Transit.
Yep, and I've told you that Bob Ferguson's the most dangerous politician I've ever encountered in my 24 years on the air. And they said, well, the voters didn't really know what they were voting for when they voted for $30 tabs.
The No campaign spent $4.5 million with, I mean, there was no Yes campaign besides my radio show.
Mm-hmm.
The No campaign spent $4.5 million, told the voters all the reasons not to vote for this, and the voters said yes anyway. So I don't know how a judge could say that the voters didn't know what they were voting for. The message was as publicized as could be through all of those campaign ads.
And what was so stupid of the Attorney General's office during their argument is they talked about the advertisements, and the judge goes, I don't know what was with the advertisements. I care about what the voters knew when they were voting. And I'm like, say it was in the voter's pamphlet. Everybody had a voter's pamphlet. It was right there in the voter's pamphlet. They didn't make that basic argument that it doesn't matter what's out there, legally relevant-wise, but absolutely in court case after court case, what's in the voter's pamphlet's what's relevant, and the opponents themselves said, if you vote for this, you're overturning these voter-approved things.
And I'm not necessarily endorsing this, because everybody's got to make their own decision, because this could come back to bite you financially, but Iman's calling for everybody to engage in civil disobedience now with your car tabs.
You have both politics and almost everybody in the media colluding against us in our vote. Then we really are looking at the end of democracy in our region.
Well, and I really like your point about, you know, why even vote. Is people losing faith in their government, faith that their vote even counts? I mean, a government can't function without the consent of the governed, and if the governed are simply so disillusioned with the system that they just give up, then they just bulldoze right over us. So, 3 points just real quick. Bob Ferguson sabotaged this thing. He sabotaged it from the beginning. There's no way that we can accept this. 2, Jay Inslee absolutely must call a special session and absolutely act on this thing and make it very clear that they respect what the voters did. Jay Inslee must do that or else everyone's going to lose faith in it. And 3, this is something we can all do. My tabs are expired. I refuse to renew my car tabs as long as these people are law-breaking against very clearly a law the voters ended up voting for, and I think it's very, very important for everyone to do that. The put pressure on the political system is for the citizens just to refuse to comply, and I think this is a very, very important thing.
You got to make your own call on that one, but Iman says everybody should refuse to pay their tabs after December 5th because the voters are being told screw you by the politicians and by most in the media. And that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Well, it's only Wednesday, but I'm going to take a 4-day weekend. So why don't we make it awesome audio of the week coming up next. We're going to take a 4-day weekend. We're going to have best of shows tomorrow and Friday, so you can still hear my voice. But since this is the final day of our live broadcast week, let's do our awesome audio of the week.
This is Doring Monson's awesome audio clips of the week.
And 2 of these are new to today. I just have to replay one from Monday. Okay, at number 3, Tom Hanks was on Jimmy Kimmel last night. And Kimmel played for him a clue on Jeopardy that asked about Tom Hanks' new movie. None of the contestants knew anything about Tom Hanks playing Mr. Rogers.
Number 3.
I think you've seen this before, but this was on Jeopardy last week, and I'd like to get your reaction.
All right.
Biopics 200, please.
In a beautiful day in the neighborhood, beloved children's TV show host Mr. Rogers is played by this beloved actor. The film opens Friday. That's Tom Hanks.
You are kidding me! You are kidding me! What? They didn't
didn't even have any wrong, you know. So somebody got binged. Woody Harrelson? No.
They were stung.
Bing? No. Mahershala Ali? No, I'm sorry. That's wrong. What was the name of the category? Washed up career choices for bad casting for $1,000?
At number two, after a 40-year career, wonderful guy on and off the air, Steve Poole, Channel 4's meteorologist. He gave his final forecast last night.
Number two.
A lot of folks have asked me, what am I going to do next? At this point, I'm not really sure, because I've never had the opportunity to just sit down and really digest all that I've done. Because in this business, things roll along pretty quickly. But it was really come down to this wonderful place where we live and being able to live here and raise a family in a place like this. I've accomplished it, so I'm ready to go on to the next level. I love you all. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Just a local broadcasting legend, Steve Poole, and I had him on the show yesterday afternoon in the, I think it was the noon hour yesterday. So if you want to go listen to the interview, check out our Tuesday noon hour podcast. And at number one in our, this is the main reason I made it Awesome Audio of the Week, because this is from Monday. This is one of my favorite sound bites of the year. And that's saying a lot as we're coming up on December. 82-year-old Willie Murphy. Some guy broke into her house, presumably to rob her. What he didn't know is that Willie Murphy, even though she's 82 years old, she's also a bodybuilder. And she let this guy have it.
Number one.
Oh, I love this woman.
The young man is in my home. Broke the door. And you know what? It's kind of semi-dark, and I'm alone, and I'm old, but guess what? I'm tough. And you want to know what happens? He picked the wrong house to break into. I took that table, and I went to working on him, and guess what? The table broke, and it had metal legs, and I'm jugging him. And when he's down, I'm jumping on him. And the telephone is still on for 911. I'm running in the kitchen. There's a bottle of baby shampoo on the table. I grabbed the shampoo, and guess what? He's still on the ground in his face, all of it, the whole thing. And he's trying to get up, and he's pulling. And I got the broom, and he's pulling the broom, and I'm hitting him. I'm hitting him with the broom, hitting him. And guess what? He wants to get the heck out of there. And I'm trying to help him get out of the house. But he's too heavy. I can't move him. He's dead weight. And at that time, the police arrive on the porch. And the house is already open. So they come in. He's laying down already. Because I had really did a number on that man. I'm serious. Oh. And you want to know something? I think he was happy when he went in the ambulance, because I sent him in the ambulance. Yes, I did. Yeah.
82-year-old Willie Murphy. I think she'll be around in a couple weeks when we do Awesome Audio of the Year. Today's Sign is next. Down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a day. Really appreciate Brock Heward stopping by. Also, King County Presiding Superior Court Judge James Rogers talking about what we perceive to be this revolving door of justice around here. If you missed any of it, go get caught up in our podcast, MyNorthwest.com, the Dory Monson Show page. All right, before we get out of here for a little long weekend, it is time for today's edition of
Today's Sign that the end is near.
Today's Sign the world is soon coming to an end. You know, we had the story that broke this afternoon about a random attack outside the King County Courthouse Once again today, we've got these people roaming the streets, just committing these random assaults on innocent people, just trying to go about their life, just trying to get to work. And this is happening a lot in big cities. Oh, there is one story out of Toronto that is disgusting. Toronto police are searching for a man suspected in a string of assaults in which buckets of liquefied fecal matter have been dumped on people in Canada's most populated city. The man is in his 20s or 30s. The first incident occurred last Friday at a library on the University of Toronto's downtown campus. According to the police, the man poured the contents of the bucket onto two unsuspecting people who were just seated at a table in the library. The second incident was Sunday at a different university in Toronto. The assailant entered the library with his bucket and again poured the contents on an unsuspecting person. And then the third one happened Monday night. A woman was just walking in the middle of downtown when a man approached her, poured the contents of the bucket he was carrying on her. He was wearing a yellow construction hat and a dark blue jacket. He fled on foot after all three incidents. And in all three, the bucket had what they described as liquefied fecal matter. And you're just trying to live your life. And we got all these crazies around us. And then today's science story number two. So what do? We can just surround ourselves with man's best friend, right? Well, apparently we can't even do that anymore. Down in the Bay Area, a 63-year-old man showed up at the hospital. He had a burning sensation in his left leg, muscle pain in both legs. He had severe flu-like symptoms. He had round spots on his skin that looked like rashes. His legs were discolored. He had a temperature of 102. His kidneys started failing. They weren't producing urine. And finally, on the fourth day in the hospital, blood tests revealed that he had a type of bacteria that is found in the saliva of healthy dogs. In other words, this guy was perfectly fine and healthy. His healthy dog licked him. And that eventually cost this man his life. And I guess it's very rare, but it's happened in other cases. It is a type of bacteria, C. canamorsis infection, that's in the saliva of healthy dogs. And about 25% of people who get C. canamorsis will die. A Wisconsin man last year lost his legs, hands, and nose after getting the same bacteria. In July, an Ohio woman had both her arms and legs partially amputated. Again, just from a dog licking them. We're not safe anywhere from anything. And all of this is today's sign. The end is near. And before I get out of here, on this Thanksgiving weekend, I want to once again thank you.
Thank you, friends. Wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. I'm so
you let me do a job that I love every single day by virtue of being there listening. You provide us with all kinds of fantastic story tips every single day.
Thank you, friends. I rejoice to the skies. Dear ones, I care the best I do.
And so, heading into Thanksgiving Day tomorrow, when my family sits around the dinner table and we run down the list of everything we are thankful for, you will be part of my prayer of blessing tomorrow. Because truly, I said this on my Northwest. Things that are most important in my life, my God, my wife, my daughters, my son-in-law, my job. So I'm thankful for my faith, my family, and my listeners to let me do this job. So thank you. I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving with people you love. We'll have some best of shows, so if you still want to listen in while you're getting dinner ready tomorrow, we'll have a best of segments on the Dory Monson Show. So we can still hang out together on Thanksgiving. All right. I will see you next live on Monday. Do my show from CenturyLink Field. And we will do the Dory Monson Show from noon to 2. And then we'll go right into our Seahawks pregame coverage for Monday Night Football. So I'll see you then. Have a great weekend. Kenny, Mike, and Todd are coming up next. And I'll see you for our best of tomorrow and Monday at high noon. Hello.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.